Do you know why alpacas hum? Because they don't know the words. This week, we're talking to Linda and Scott Elmore, whose idea of retirement was to start the Foothills Alpaca Farm outside of Backus, Minnesota. Scott told me that joke the day I met their alpacas.
I grew up in the cities, but my family's had property up here since I was, before I was born. So when we got close to retirement, we'd switched from the lakeshore to this, and then we decided we should probably have something to do after we retired.
And we had a friend that was visiting, and they said, well, have you checked into alpacas? And we're going, al what? You know, and like, right, what's an alpaca?
Alpacas are a cute, fuzzy animal related to the camel. They stand about 3 feet high at the shoulders and can live 15 to 20 years. The Elmores raise and breed the animals to sell and to gather their fleece, and today they are shearing. Linda grew up on a dairy farm in southern Minnesota, so raising animals is familiar.
Because, you know, if we don't lock our pens closed, they're smart enough, they know how to lift the panels up and get out and get into the girl pen or whatever. And you could end up with babies in the middle of the winter. The babies are called crias, and they weigh between 15 to 18 pounds when they're born. And they are usually standing up within about 45 minutes and nursing.
Alpacas are hardy animals that thrive in the high Andes Mountains of South America. But they are a fairly new addition to the American pasture land.
We're kind of late getting into the game here. Australia and Canada and England were far ahead of us in getting into alpacas. New Zealand, too, into alpacas. They've had them a lot longer than we have. The British started importing the fiber back in the 1800s. We're about 100 years late getting into this.
Accustomed to high altitudes where foliage is scarce, the animals are light eaters.
If you saw what they live off of in the wild, there just isn't much there for them to eat.
I picked a good day to meet the Elmores. Once a year, the alpaca farmers around the region meet at Foothills to have their animals sheared. Some have only one or two animals, and it's more cost-effective for everybody. The scene is like that of a small festival. Families and animals everywhere. It's all about the fleece, so each alpaca is brought to the shearing table, which looks a lot like a fold-down table tray. The animals are strapped to the table, and then the top is flipped flat to shear the alpaca. It happens quickly, and care is taken to ensure that each owner gets the fleece from his or her alpaca.
Well, the funny thing about these guys, and it really is humorous, is they look so different once they're sheared that the animals can't even tell who's who.
Really?
When you put them back in the pen, they're all looking at each other like, what, you know, who are you? And then once they sniff each other, then they know.
Yeah.
But even we have a hard time telling which animal is which once when they're first sheared.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild, where we're meeting with Linda and Scott Elmore at their alpaca farm in Backus, Minnesota. I was fascinated to learn that besides cutting the fleece, some of the animals annually require a bit of dental work and sometimes a pedicure.
They only have teeth on the front, on the bottom, and the bottom teeth keep growing, and sometimes some of them wear them off naturally and they don't need to be trimmed. Other times some of them keep growing and they get so they're like above the palate, so that they have a hard time chewing, and so you have to trim the teeth down. It's kind of like a two-toed hoof in a way, but the toenails keep growing, and there again, sometimes you don't need to trim them, sometimes you do. It depends on where they're walking, what they're walking on.
Why raise alpacas? Well, in South America, the meat is a common menu item, but here, they're raised for their fiber. Each animal has 5 to 10 pounds of fleece that come in many colors.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of money you can make with the alpacas if you get going in the right area and all that. Some people just have them more, you know, like a lot of the ones that have the alpacas that bring them here to get sheared, They just have them for fiber.
After putting a strap around the middle of the alpaca, their hind legs and front legs are stretched out so that each part of the alpaca can be sheared. The best part, of course, is the blanket.
The prime part of the alpaca is the blanket, which is from like the front shoulder to the back hip, and it's from the middle of the side to the middle of the other side. And that's the prime part. You get paid the most for that part of the fiber. The top part of the legs and the neck are what they call the second cut, which is the next prime. And the part that's like the bottom of the legs and the underbelly is called thirds, which is basically used for making rugs with it. They can make rug fiber. None of the fiber actually goes to waste. We've donated some of it to a place in Oregon. There's a lady that has, her mother lives in Hackensack, so when she comes out to visit, she'll come here and collect our thirds and take them back to Oregon, and they use them for like insulation in sleeping bags for homeless people. It's 7 times warmer than sheep's wool. You know, like some of the stuff you see going on the floor out there, and they said kind of rake it up and all that. Well, that basically, the birds come and take it and use it for nesting. Or we can gather and sell it as bird nesting material, which we do sometimes.
The Elmores also take their animals around to fairs and farmers markets, introducing them to our area. And did I mention, they are really cute. They have certainly found a home here in northern Minnesota with 2 retirees who 10 years ago didn't even know what an alpaca was.
And then if you're not careful, you end up collecting them instead of selling them. Because every one is one of your favorites, or your wife's favorite, so.
Well, alpacas are like people. Some of them like being around people, others would rather have nothing to do with people. But most of them are very curious, want to know what's going on. We had one when we were still had her boarded and all that type of stuff. Anytime you're in the pen doing something, she was like right over your shoulder going, "Can I help? You know, what's going on here?" and that type of thing.
They're a lot of fun. A fun animal to have.
With the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.